This morning, I want to drive your attention to the Old Testament book of Chronicles, one that you don't hear too much about. But I want to deal with, a familiar text. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. Just two simple verses. Amen. First Chronicles, everybody got it? 4th chapter, 9 and 10 reads, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The subject this morning is simply the prayer of Jabez, more than a footnote. As you begin to read this particular chapter, most people would turn away. As it goes down through genealogy, you get bored with reading the son and the son who begat and the son and the family and the relative. So therefore, you would start off reading the chapter and then you would say to yourself, why in the world do I need to know about all these names that I can't even mention anyway? And so before you get to the meat of that particular chapter, you have turned it off. But in that chapter, it appears to be a footnote. And you got to understand how important a footnote is with God. Here in the midst of all of these names, God takes the time out to tell a story. Not a very long story, but yet a powerful story nonetheless. Now we know that this book has been written and has sold millions of copies, dealing quite simply with the prayer of Jabez and everybody wanting to enlarge their territory. Everybody wants to pray this prayer so that God would bless them. I remember I seen them even on Oprah. You know, you make Oprah, you done made the bestsellers list. But it's more in the text that I would just like to explore this morning.
All right.
I have 3 points that I'm going to have you look at. Focus, faith, and fear.
All right.
Those are the 3 components that the Lord has showed me that relates to this prayer. Let's start with verse 9. First of all, after going through a list of names, the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And to understand that, you got to understand that in those days, names meant a lot. Names had connotations for where they thought you might be going or what you would be. And so his name means pain. And therefore, I can imagine all of his life he tried to be the best person he could possibly be so that he would not live up to his name. And so the Bible says that he was more honorable than all his brothers. Now, I don't know what all their names were. But it was something about his that made him strive a little bit harder.
Right.
You know how you don't want to be associated with your background.
Yes,
people say that if you come out of the ghetto, you're always going to be ghetto. Yeah. And there are those folks who are saying, well, just because I grew up in the ghetto don't mean that I'm a ghetto type person.
Yeah.
Don't mean that my mentality has to be ghetto just because I came from there. You got to understand there are good things that have come from bad places.
All right.
Jabez was determined, but he was focused. See, when we're in our prayer lives, the one thing that we do not do is focus. In order to talk to God, you need to focus on who he is.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? See, we go to God in prayer and we all over the place. And don't think it's just you. You can hear it right here in church.
Yeah.
Folks take prayer for granted and take the conversation of prayer for granted, when you got to understand that it is a line of communication between you and God. So you can't just go as cavalier as folks do. Case in point. If I ask somebody to come and pray over the offering, a focused prayer, somebody who knows who God is, and somebody who is understanding the assignment that has been laid before them, will quite simply pray over the offering and sit down. But many of us have been to church for all our lives. And folks consider the offertory prayer as a time to get their prayers off. Lord, I just want to thank you for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. And I want to thank you for this and that and for touching my body along the way. And oh yeah, by the way, Lord, bless all those who gave this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. There's no focus there. And when it comes to prayer, you got to zoom in on something.
Yes, sir.
You got to clear your mind. When it's almost as before you begin to pray, clear your mind and know what you're going into. Verse 10 says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel.
All right.
Now, in order for him to cry out to a God, you got to know who this God is.
All right.
He clarifies it by saying that this is a God of Israel, so we know who the God of Israel is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he is establishing the fact that I'm about to pray, but I'm praying to the God of Israel, so you don't make no mistakes. It ain't no golden calf, and it ain't no God that has a little G in his name, but this is the one and only Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I'm letting you know that I'm going straight to God.
Go ahead.
Can I teach a little bit?
Yes, sir.
So you got to understand that he is a man whose name meant pain, and he didn't want to always stay in that category. So if I'm ever going to get out of my situation, I'm going to have to first focus in and pray to who I know can fix my situation. So now that he has declared that it is the God of Israel that I'm praying to, in order for you to focus on that particular God, you got to know something about that God. Because you're not going to take prayer to anybody, are you? You're not going to take prayer to somebody who can't fix it. Well, let me take that back. Maybe you will. So many folks do. You praying to people and to things that can't do anything for your situation. And then you wonder why they're not doing it. Or you pray to the God of Israel with no power. You know why? Here it comes. Once we focus on who it is and where we're going, that's what he did, right? After he declared who he was talking to, then he zoomed in. Oh, oh is a biblical term. I'm going deep to you, Lord. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. So his focus was on the fact that, Lord, I know my name has a bad connotation. But I know that if I come to you, you can change the circumstance. Now, some folks will say, well, wasn't that a selfish prayer? Now, selfish prayer is prayer that involves you and you alone. But he went to the God of Israel, who he knew could handle the situation. So he's saying that, Lord, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Oh, so wait a minute. In order to enlarge the territory that God wants to be enlarged, you got to go to him. It wasn't for his own benefit. See, when God enlarges your territory, it's not for your benefit.
Well.
It's for the benefit so that others may be able to see how good God is.
Yes,
but for you to ask that question, here comes number two.
Well.
It's going to take faith.
Well.
If you have faith in God, then why do you pray like you don't? Why is it that when we pray, we're skeptical of it coming true? Huh? We want a healing or a deliverance, but we're unsure. We're not certain that God is hearing us. Well, then let's go back to the focus point. See, if you're requesting a healing or a deliverance from God without focus, then you are being selfish. You say, wait a minute, I just want to get healed. What is the reason for you wanting to be healed? Is it to promote the kingdom or just to make you feel better? Where is the glory that God is going to get from you getting up? See, some folk want to get up, but they don't want to spread the good news as to why they got up and how they got up. I just want to feel better. I don't want to endure no pain. Well, nobody wants to endure pain, but you better come better than that when you want to get rid of some pain from God. Ultimately, prayer is prayed to move or to change the heart of God towards you. And so if you're unfocused, and I'll just give an example. I've been diagnosed with cancer. And Lord, I want you to remove this cancer so that I can go on about my daily business. I'm not ready to die yet. I don't want to go through no pain. And then you have one to say, Lord, if it be your will, remove this cancer that I might be a speaking piece for you, for those who don't know who you are. Well, then you have changed the way you have come to God. So God said, well, now I can bless you so that you can go and bless others. But I'm not just trying to bless you and you ain't about nothing. So we have to begin to focus on what it is we're going to, because without the focus, it's going to be hard to have the faith. Because the faith says that, number one, I know who to go to in times of need.
Yes, sir.
And if I go to him, I know he will do exactly what he said he will do.
Yeah,
am I right?
Come on, brother.
Matthew 7:7 pretty much says, ask and it will be given you. Yeah. Search and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. James 4:22 simply says, you don't have because you don't ask.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
How many times, and I use this principle quite a bit, because quite simply, we don't have because we have not asked for anything. We always speculating or wondering if we can, but never ask. Now, we go talk to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so about it. But you never go to the source to find out if it can be done. But when you ask, you're going to find out there's a whole lot of stuff that can't be done. The problem is you never ask. You know why? Because you wasn't focused and you had no faith in what you was asking. You got to learn that these things come together. That's what makes this prayer so possible. Number one, stay focused. Don't be all loosey-goosey all over the place. Zero in on what it is you want from God. And how what you want from God will help toward the kingdom. Because if it ain't going toward the kingdom, let me help you out. It's not a top priority in God's house. You got to be doing something for God. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. In other words, you need to pray with fear or failure. Fear or failure. Fear recognizes the reverence of God and who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to take no anything to God. Because
yeah.
I got enough respect to know that if I'm going to take it to God,
yeah.
it needs to be something that is aligned with his will.
All right.
To the point of failure.
Yeah.
Don't pray to God for something that you can do. If it's something that you can do,
come on now.
Why pray to God?
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you get it done, he gets no glory.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that means that your prayer has to be a prayer that is set up for failure.
Well,
in other words, only thing that really is going to hit home with God is the stuff that only God could perform in your life. Jabez could not perform anything that he had just required. Number one, his name already had a bad connotation. It meant pain, so everybody thought, whenever you see Jabez, duck, because there comes pain along the way. And so he realized that nobody's going to give me a shot, so I'm going to go to the one who can give me a shot, and the one who can turn my life around, and the one that I will stay focused on for as long as I live, because I got faith. Where did my faith come from? Well, I've known God. I know the story from where he brought my ancestors. So therefore, if they could pray to him and he could deliver them, then
surely
he can deliver me.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it to God and place it in his lap. And say, now, Lord, do with me as you will. Focus, faith, fear. Are those the ingredients you pray with? When you want to do his will. I ain't talking about your will. I'm not talking about the stuff that makes you comfortable. Because if you haven't figured it out by now, these prayers don't make you comfortable. In order for God to enlarge your territory, you're going to be uncomfortable. Huh? In order for me to have answered the call to ministry, it was going to make me uncomfortable. In order for me to enlarge my territory, I'm going to be able to have to pour through this word, study through the word, pray to God, fellowship, and keep everything first and foremost in the front of my life that has to do with God. That means that sometimes I'm going to get rid of some old friends.
Yeah.
You know, you like to keep them around
because
they're friends.
Well.
Anything that brings you down toward reaching your goals and your aspirations in him are negative and not good.
Yeah.
But I know them. Your point is,
well,
you trying to get to where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
There is no way you can bring a lot of baggage on this journey.
Come on, God. Come on, God.
You got to learn how to separate from some old stuff, some old habits.
Yeah.
Folks say, well, it's hard. It ain't supposed to be easy. It's going to be hard. That's why you pray for failure. Lord, deliver me out of this bad situation so that I can serve you better. Because I realize that myself, now I've tried. I tried, okay? I've tried to stop smoking. I've tried to stop drinking. I've tried to leave women alone. I've tried this and I've tried that. But on my own, I never accomplished a single thing. But when I accepted Christ in my life, they said that all old things pass away and they become new. So if I got some new stuff in me,
all right,
then that means I got to get rid of the old stuff that I just keep hanging out with. There is no way in the world. Listen to this. No way in the world that I can focus in on what I need to pray for to be better lifted up by God. And there's no way that I can pray that prayer without the faith of knowing that he can accomplish it.
Yes, sir.
All right. And there's no way I can pray a prayer that's not unto failure that I could accomplish myself without needing him. Because without him, there is no glory. So if I'm going to take the time to focus, have the faith and the fear, then I should have enough sense to know to stay out of the places that keep dragging me down.
All right.
I say, Lord, deliver me from a womanizing spirit. All right, well, then stop going around 10 women on a trip.
Come on now.
I went to Jamaica with about 10 women from the singles ministry. Now, was I going to get all 10?
Yeah.
Now, I'm on a Christian trip,
yeah.
But my mind,
yeah.
I saw a kid in a candy store. What I'm saying, if I expect to do better and be better, I got to come out of some bad situations that's not going to allow my spirit to grow in him. And so when I get delivered, I say, well, brother, the way you deliver yourself from a situation like that is remove yourself from that scene. You're never too big that you can handle. You're never so big or bad in God that you can walk down into a crack house and used to be a crackhead and think you're going to save everybody up in there. When your sin surrounds you, they will attack you, and there is no way out. That's why folks say when they go down even harder the second time. Because you have tasted the goodness only to fall back, and then you get discouraged because you fell in the first place because you had no business being where you need. What? The Bible says that God granted his request. In other words, he hears you. He knows you. He understands the situation. And what he's saying is that, look, I just need for you to take a full part in the process. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to take care of all your needs, but I need you to come in and focus on, stop coming to me and say, Lord, I want this, 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 and that. Say, Lord, I need you.
Yes, sir.
Once I find you, point me the way I need to go, that I might be a blessing to others. That's all he was doing. You want to enlarge your territory? You want God to remove the stain that's over your life from your past that folks keep throwing up in your face? And give it to God. Stop letting man dictate who you are. Your daddy wasn't no good, so you ain't gonna be no good. Your mama wasn't no good, so you ain't gonna be no good. Don't let folks dictate. Only one who can dictate my life is the one who created it.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't my mama and daddy. They took part. But the Bible says that while I was in my mother's womb, I carefully knit you and put you together the way I needed you to be. And so when you begin to understand these things, you know that, you know what? I know that God is real. And so I can begin to focus on what it is I really want. There are all types of prayers. But this is a prayer that's designed for each and every individual to do better in God. There's a time to pray for people. There's a time to pray over nations and leadership and church and all that stuff. But there's a time that you got to find time for yourself to pray, not in a selfish manner, but in a manner that God would have you face the throne. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, show me your glory.
Right.
That's not selfish. He's saying, look, I just want to be under your umbrella. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to be near you. How many of you ever had a dream where God had enveloped you and you knew you was in the presence of the Holy One? That's a dream that will just blow your mind. And I get mad every time he gives me a taste and wakes me up. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm in your presence right now. I'm unworthy to be in your presence. And I can understand why he says, Moses, take off your shoes. You want to go in there and take off everything because you want to be naked before God. But the feeling that he gives you. You say, well, Rev, I ain't never experienced that. You got to get closer to him. Because he will give you a taste of glory from time to time that will help keep pushing you over that hump. Because there are times when I get discouraged. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And all of a sudden, God opens up the heavens. And I'm like, I just want to thank you because I realize that you are in my life. And then there are times. Now, understand this. When you have focus, when you have faith, and you have fear, Satan is there too. Don't think that everything is going to be wonderful.
All right.
Because there are times when I'm also asleep. And Satan is attacking me. And I don't know if you ever felt this, but it's a point where you can't seem to get out. You feel like you're restrained beyond measure. You can't move your mouth. I'm trying to call out for somebody to help me because I got an awful evil presence over me. And I'm looking around and the only thing that can come to my mind is Jesus. And I begin to, in my mind, I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Next thing you know, my mouth is unclogged and I'm opening up my mouth and I'm saying, Jesus. And the more I say Jesus, that evil spirit got to flee. Because I know who I'm calling and I know what he's capable of. I know that in the name of Jesus, he can't stay there. He can't stay around me. So if you keep it in your lifestyle, it's going to be hard for that evil to get a grip. But if we float, and don't stay focused on him.
Well,
if we float and deal with every wind of magic, if we float and deal with these astrological signs, I hate it when a Christian asks me what sign I am. I'm a Christian. I don't have a sign. It doesn't fascinate me. I'm not bogged down to what a sign says I am. I don't deal in the stars. I deal in the one who created the stars. So don't bring a horoscope to me. Show me a heavenly scope. Something that says, what sign are you? Born again? How about you? That's how you stay focused. This little pericope is more than a footnote. Your lives in God is more than a footnote. You are not here by chance. You're not here because someone made you come. God put you together and allowed you to be born in a place where they abort. He allowed you to be born in a place where they could care less. And the world wants you, the minute you come out of the womb, the world is there to grab you. But at some point in your life, the scales are removed from your eyes. And your spirit is able to connect back with the Creator. Well, when you connect back with the Creator, you should feel a new energy flow. that should put you on the right track. Now, it won't keep you there unless you practice. You won't stay on the right track unless you know where the right track is. God wants you to open up to him. He wants you to pray. He wants you to ask so that you can receive. But ask in his name and in his will. And make sure when you're dealing with God, that it's something that only God could do for you in your life. So that when you accomplish the task, you'll be mindful to give God all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Things you can do by yourself, you don't need prayer. He's already equipped you to be able to do. But when you want to really get in his will, you got to stay in his way. And when he brings you through, acknowledge him. That's why I believe so many pastors get in trouble, because they get above themselves and they forget who it was that blessed them in the first place to be able to do the things that they've done. As a people, as a nation, as a body of Christ, always be mindful to stay focused on where you're going and what you're doing and who you're praying to and know who he is. He sent us his only begotten son who paid the price. You may not think you're a winner, but when he got up from the grave, he made us all winners. Even in this life when things seem so down that you don't know which way you're going, but because I'm focused, I know that if he gives me another day, I'm going to be all right, because I get up in him. And my faith says that he's coming back for me. And so as long as I know that he's coming back for me, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep holding on, and I'm going to keep walking down the road that he has laid before me. And then as far as my fear, I will always give him the respect that he's due. And I will always make sure that I pray unto failure, because I know that he can do anything. And he even left us the message that said that I can do what? All things in Christ, which strengthens me. Hold on to that and keep it. Make your prayer life that of Jabez, and understand that with power and access comes responsibility. And folks are watching you to see what you do with what God gave you. Amen? Amen. Doors of the church are open this morning.